بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله صل على سيدنا نبينا مولانا محمد مولانا. من رسالة سورة آل عمران إن السورة there are many آيات and all the آيات of Allah are means of guidance and wisdom and knowledge. Sequence of ayat right at the end in the خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the creation of the heavens and the earth, everything around us, and ourselves and everything within us. Are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see this great magnificence, beautiful creation of Allah, Allah is saying that you must reflect and think of the Creator. When somebody builds a building, there is a builder behind it. When somebody sews a nice suit, there's a tailor behind it. When somebody cooks a good meal, there's a cook, a chef behind it, and etc. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention that we as the makhluq of Allah are so engrossed in His makhluq, in His creation, that we forget the Creator. So wherever we go and wherever we are within the heavens and the earth. When you look into the heavens and the earth, you'll see that things change constantly. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ in the disparate differences of the night and day. Night and day is alternating, changing all the time. So there is a creation and there is a change in the creation. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, we know from certain rules and laws of nature, certain rules and laws of science, and so on. But it is in the creation. How does Allah set these rules? And how does Allah orchestrate? And how does Allah change and alternate everything around us, even ourselves? In this, Allah says, there are many signs. The ayat, not just one sign, many signs. Ulul albab, for those who have understood the kernel, who have understood the marrow of the matter. And not just the fruit, inside the fruit there is a stone and then there's a kernel within it. For those people, there are many signs, meaning if you sit down and reflect on one sign of Allah, you'll find many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these people who have the kernel and who have understood the lub, the marrow of the matter? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهُ. Those who remember Allah, those who think of Allah, those who ponder about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, qiyaman, while they're standing, wa qu'udan, while they're sitting, wa ala junubihim, and on their sides. What are they doing? They're thinking about Allah's creation. They're mentioning Allah by name, by their tongues, in their minds, in their hearts, and they're thinking about this grand creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. At the same time, they reflect about the creation of the heavens and the earth. We don't have time to think outside the box. We don't have time to think outside the internet or the smartphone. We don't have time to think outside of our homes, and so on. We just take a break from all of this. What's within the house? You go outside the house and look at the sky. The sky is a canopy. It is a roof. And this roof, as Allah says, بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, has no pillar that you can see. Have you ever thought of a house without a pillar? بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Who sustains this? If he was to say, okay, that's it, no more roof for you, what happened? The heavens and the earth, they were capsized and cave in. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. Allah is the one who restrains the heavens and the earth from moving. God forbid something was to move here or there and shake here and there, and that would be the end of us. This is something human beings must reflect upon, and especially Muslims, that they are within the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, especially in the ni'mah of Islam, which allows you to remember Allah this way. So this is a point of it's a point of reflection. And what then do they say after they have reflected? So now engineers and mathematicians and scientists and everybody else who study and explore the world, how the world works from within and from without, and everything else, you know, the cogs and wheels, how does all this fit in? Which is a wonderful exercise, and without which we would not be sitting here with these lights above us, okay, with this building, and so on. There's no doubt about it. But what is the purpose? The purpose is not the utility of this creation here in this world. The purpose of reflecting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His creation, is not simply just the utility of how these things function in this world. That even an atheist can do. Right? In fact, that's the only thing an atheist does. That's all he does. What does he do? He thinks about the utility of things in this world. And that's it. Totally utilitarian approach to life and existence. To the extent where God doesn't matter, He doesn't exist. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you as a Muslim want to reflect about the creation, then you should come to a conclusion. That conclusion has to do with not this world, but another world. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, You have not created this in vain. Meaning all of the heavens and the earth and everything within it, all the billions and trillions of cogs and wheels that make up this universe and beyond, it is not in vain, but it's not something that is false. There is a truth and reality within it and behind it. And once we reflect upon this, there is nothing else for us to say except Subhanaka. Subhanaka. That You are glorified. You are much more exalted than to create all of this in vain, without any purpose, without any destination, without any future. The idea that we do not have a future after we die in itself is vain. That makes no sense. One Hindu guru came to Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmud Hassan, rahimahullah. Shaykh al-Hind, like his teacher Maulana Qasim, would love the opportunity of debating any Hindu. Any and every Hindu, come, whatever you want to ask and say, come. We're not afraid of falsehood. Falsehood has no legs to stand on. He came and discussed. And said to Shaykh al-Hind that I don't believe there is anything after I die. A very kind of rebellious Hindu for him to say that. Which, as we know, this probably reincarnation is a rebirth of coming back to the world, in the world, in some other form or shape. But this particular person came to the conclusion that he did not believe anything was going to happen to him after he died. Shaykh al-Hind rahimahullah said that, look, you have two options. Either you believe or you don't believe. I believe there is something and you believe there is nothing. If you believe that there is nothing and if there happens to be something, then you're in for a shock. For the sake of argument, if I believe there is something there and nothing happens, then I'm okay. I'm okay. But you're not okay. Because there is still a possibility that something will happen. And if you don't prepare for that something, then you'll be in a state of shock. Well, I'm saying, obviously, the Hindu went away. That's what happens, right? And then he covered. The one who makes kufr, dumbfounded, and they go away. They can't say anything against the truth. What I'm saying is that Shaykh Ibn Rahimullah is saying that the purpose of this world has to be something bigger and better than what human beings do in this world. And when you evaluate what human beings do in this world, what do? They play, and they talk, and they amuse themselves, and they have fun, and they cook, and they wear, and they build houses, and they live, and they die. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. This is all in vain. Subhanaka, you are glorified. You are much more exalted than creating us for no reason. So there is a reason. And what is that reason? Allah says that those who remember Allah and reflect, what do they say? فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So save us and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Eventually, we are going towards a destination which is either of tremendous destruction or tremendous creativity. What we need to do is to appreciate that this life is not in vain. There is a higher purpose and there is an ulterior now maqsad for why Allah has created us in this world, so that we are humble in front of Him. And in this month of Ramadan, we realize that this is Allah's fault on us, that we are able to fast. Well, we are able to leave our food and drink and everything else for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we are in a position to say to Allah, now forgive us. So at the end of Ramadan, we have the first 10 days of Rahmah, the second 10 days of Maghfirah, and the last 10 days of Itqum min deliverance from the fire, which is one of the main objectives of fast, as the Prophet ﷺ said, As-sawm junnah. That fasting is a shield. A shield against what? A shield that wards you against and off evil, wards evil off you. And a shield against the fire of hell. The Prophet ﷺ said that, اتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشَكِّ دَوَرٍ. That to fear and save yourself from the fire of hell, even though it may be through one half of a date. Meaning that there is someone who doesn't have a date for his iftar, and you give that person one date, and then through that one date, you will be shielding yourself from the fire of hell. Now here, what do we see here, which is called the common link? That you think about the heavens and the earth, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the changes in the heavens and the earth, in the night and day and everything else, and you reflect upon Allah's creation, and you fast. What is the common link? The common link is to appreciate that there is the fire of hell. And now, there's fire. Where is that? Wherever it is. Beyond the heavens and the earth. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jahannam, it exists as we speak. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the prophets before him saw this as an ultimate reality. And they said that if you're going that way, then save yourself from falling into it. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the punishment of the fire. It is not intimidation, it is frightening. The purpose of these ayat is what? Is to instill fear in you. You understand? You know, sometimes parents say, we shouldn't instill fear in our children and speak about hell. They say, we should. Why? Because it's the ultimate pitfall. It is the ultimate downfall of all human beings. And if you don't prepare yourselves and your children for that, then you haven't done a good job for you and for your children. And that's the truth. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ is the conclusion of every Muslim who reflects about the heavens and the earth, that there is something else out of there after I die, which is waiting for me. This is the conclusion from the ayat. Now, before that, many people have embellished these ayat and enhanced these ayat as ayat of reflection, ayat of scientific discovery, investigation, exploration, which is all fine. As long as you do what? As long as you say, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Right? All of this reflection without understanding where you're going after you die is not reflection. It is a waste of time. It is futility. It is not utility. If the conclusion is not made the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make the conclusion, and Allah through His fadl has now given us the conclusion, meaning that as you're thinking, as you're postulating, as you're hypothesizing, as you're saying this might happen, this might, what is the formula for this? Okay, how does this apply? What is the inner reality of this? How is this macroscopically, microscopically? How do you see this in the microscope? How do you see this in the telescope? What are the algorithms and what's the science behind this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all of that is wonderful and fine. And you may appreciate that and live through those laws and rules and regulations, but you must conclude that there is a creator of this system. There is a creator of this science. There is a creator of you. That creator doesn't reside here. He resides somewhere else. And wherever he resides, he is going to meet you, and you're going to meet him. And if you meet him in the best of states, he will protect you from the fire. And God forbid, if you don't prepare for that, then he may not meet you the way you want to meet him. This is the conclusion of every Muslim thinker. Everybody wants to be a reformist, and everybody wants to be a thinker, which is wonderful. You must do that. At the same time, Allah is saying, this is not a science project where you can postulate and hypothesize and then experiment in the world as you exist. The conclusion is already given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who made you and made everything that you are postulating about and over and hypothesizing for. He's given you the conclusion. Allah says, we don't want you to draw a conclusion because I've given you the conclusion. This is the result. And it is the result that prophets came to deliver. Prophets came to deliver the result of our thinking. That if you think, then this must be your result. If you don't reach the result, there's something wrong with you. Now this may seem very simplistic to some of you, and maybe something very simple for others, but we all have our mistakes and faults. Right? We all have our mistakes and faults. So Allah says, لِأُولِ الْأَلْبَابِ. Not for the casual thinker. The people of the lub, al-bab, and lub, Lord is lub, the curve. People who understand what is behind the reality, what is the marrow. Go to the kernel and go to the marrow of the issue behind the bones and look into that and see what is there. When you see what is there, there is immense creativity and there is immense now power. And through that immense creativity and power, you will realize that Allah exists. And Allah exists with this order. This immense creativity and power that the earth now displays and manifests. But it does so in such a way that it is magnificent, it is mind-boggling. This sequence of day and night and the perfection with which everything works within the day and night, it is mind-boggling. We can't even think about how to create a clock this way. It works like clockwork? No. It works the way Allah wants it to work. Much better than clockwork. Much better than clockwork. How do you use? That is it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in the long days of Ramadan this year, mashallah, Allah make it easy for us. It works like clockwork also. Right? Maghrib comes at the time when Maghrib is supposed to come. Maghrib is not going to feel sorry for you, you're dying of thirst. Is there somebody then who can maybe switch on Maghrib for you? So who comes when? When it comes, it's going to work the way Allah wants it to work. Every day is going to be a minute further, minutes earlier. Not a second, not a minute. Why? Ikhtilaf al-layl. Now who thinks of this? Those who have the lub. Now, what you do is, the luxury of a Muslim is the fiqh. Okay? The luxury of a Muslim is what? the fiqh of Islam. Other people, meaning non-Muslims, even if they believe in God, they don't have the fiqh. And those who don't believe in God, period, I mean, they're totally deprived. Right? What is the luxury of a Muslim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muslims a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came and delivered the message to the Sahaba, and the Sahaba delivered the fiqh, the understanding of deen, of the message of wahi, to those who learned from them, and today we have fiqh. Now, if we didn't have the examples of fiqh, we probably won't be able to get to the lub, the marrow of the matter. So easy. So the fuqaha, when they taught and studied all this, they said, see, this is how it works. Allah is doing this, Allah is doing this, Allah is doing this. They bring Allah into whatever they're doing in their ibadat. If you don't bring Allah into your ibadah, that's a tragedy, right? Then you should be thinking of Allah when you're fasting. I mean, who are you fasting for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you fasting? To please Allah, for the sake of Allah, for Allah, as the hadith says, for in the soul. Fasting is for thee. So now, look at this, that Allah has spread out the days and nights throughout the year in such a way that 30 years is a whole cycle. In these 30 years, you go through all seasons. Okay. Every now fluctuation of the day and night, you'll go through that, and you'll be worshipping Allah all through the 30 years where you're going to experience Allah and His power, His creativity in this wonderful cycle of 30 years. Not a moment or a second of these 430 years, if you live long enough, mashallah, will you be deprived of Allah's ibadah. Who does this? Allah. Why is He doing this? Because He loves us. Right? Because He wants us to be saved from the fire. He doesn't want us to go into the fire. So now, we must attach the day and night to Allah. And we must attach the day and night to our fast. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامِ بِاللَّيْلِ in the Quran. Then complete your fast until the night. So in the day you fast, and in the night when the night comes in, the fast is now broken and it's finished. So now, the beauty of thinking of Allah through your ibadah is exactly the meaning of the word ihsan. What is ihsan in the hadith of Jibreel? And ta'abud Allah, ka'annaka tarah, that you worship Allah as if you're seeing Him. How do you see Him? How do you see Him? That if there's a minute after suhoor, you say you can't eat. Who says you can't eat? This is America. This is the land of the free, home of the brave. Who's going to tell you not to eat 1 minute after suhoor time comes in? Allah. Allah's power over you and in you is far more superior than America's power. Why? Because America will tell you to eat. Right? Time for mother hasn't come in and you're starving. And you're ravishing your eye over that you start. Nobody will let you eat. Your own children won't let you eat. But why can't they let you eat? They're minors. Because they represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, well, when you have the fiqh in front of you and you see the power of the unseen, the ghayb, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, the ghayb comes into you through fasting. Fasting is something that's invisible. It's the ghayb. How do you know you're fasting? Meaning that you and your wife and you and your children, do you know you're fasting? Do you know your fast? No. Is it visible? Can you see 24 hours of the day that I can swear in the name of Allah that I have not seen this person drink a drop of water? No? There's always a bathroom. Right? So who knows your fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ghayb. So the ghayb comes in an invisible form, called the fast, Sawm. Allah says, Sawm li, fasting is for me. Only I know you're fasting, and you know you're fasting. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us tremendously. What I'm saying is that when you bring down the heavens and the earth, the cold, as close as possible into the Sharia, and you blend the two together. And you merge the two together, you get Ulil Albab, people of the Lubb, people of the Marrow. If you have the Qawm, meaning science, and you don't have the Fiqh, you're Jahil. Right? And if you have the Fiqh and you don't have the Qawm, you're still a Jahil. They work hand in hand. Why? Because this is Allah's Amr, and this is also Allah's Amr. How does Allah create the heavens and the earth? Through His Amr. And how does Allah regulate human beings and their actions? Through His Amr. This Amr is called Tashri' and Sharia, and this Amr, or this command, is called the world, the Qawm, the cosmos. When you have both, then you have Ulul Albab. Now we are in the US in a very, very unique position where we have masters of both. We are masters of the cosmos, supposedly. And we are masters of the Sharia, supposedly. Merge the two together, you'll get Ulul Albab, people of the Lubb. And when people of the Lubb come together and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah, there is nothing except Faqih ma'adabillah. Save us and protect us from the fire of hell. This is the message of this ayah in Surah Al-Imran. Surah Al-Imran, for some of you who've been studying, mashallah, in Sunday morning, and for those of you who haven't, it is for the non-Muslim. Ali Imran was revealed for whom? Was revealed for the Christians and the Yahud. Right? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this surah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he could deliver the message to the Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and Christians. Now how would you know that? And what is the message to the Jews and Christians in this? Because the previous ayahs speak about the Jews and Christians, right? All from the beginning of the surah until here. Now you've got to merge the two together. How do you merge the two together? And by following people like Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, that the Sahaba say that Abdullah ibn Abbas went out somewhere into a town where there were only Christians. And as he now started, he started to make the tafsir of this surah, the surah we recited tonight, Ali Imran. And he started and he did not finish. And the Sahaba who were there, the Tabi'in who were there, who listened to him, said that it would be enough to convert all the Christians in the world. His tafsir. His tafsir. Why? Because they are Ulul Albab, people of the Lubb, people of the bone marrow, that they understood the mughs, the kernel of the issue, and that is that whether you understand the Qawm, Allah's creation, or whether you understand Allah's Amr al-Hukm in you, meaning Sharia, you still have to worship Him. Understanding is not enough. Worshipping has to accompany your fiqh and your understanding. And that is through the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They understood this. And as they explained and explained and explained, people will be mesmerized by the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Now all of this knowledge that Abdullah ibn Abbas had, okay, it did not come word for word from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a dua as he was a young boy, okay, carrying out the duties and the chores for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was very happy with him one evening and said, Allahumma allim al-ta'weel. Allahumma allim al-fiqh al-ta'weel. Allah give him fiqh and ta'weem, meaning understanding of the Quran and understanding of the deen. And that was accepted the dua. So what I'm saying is that these ayat of the Quran that we recite and listen to, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to recite them more, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to learn about them and to understand them and to follow them and to practice whatever is needed for us to practice in order for our salvation to be guaranteed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. آمين يا رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد